Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Aren't you always so skint? Playing gigs for 50 quid. You don't need someone telling you what to do. You just want to keep up the va-va-voom. 101 part-time jobs. 101 part-time jobs. Hello, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs, where I ask the question, how the fuck do bands survive? On today's episode is a perfect guest for us, Jason Williamson, who started a full-time music career in his 40s with the brilliantly caustic Sleaford Mods, and has not been shy in talking about all the different jobs he's had over the years. This Friday, Sleaford Mods released their new album, UK Grim. They're in full campaign mode, and that's why I could get him along for an episode. Cheers to Jamie at Rough Trade for making that happen. UK Grim sounds amazing. They put out a single with Florence from Dry Cleaning. This track, So Trendy, with Perry from Jane's Addiction. And the album's title track has an amazing video by Cold War Steve, which is just a match made in heaven, really, or purgatory, or whatever. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs, supported by 2000 Trees Festival, a brilliant independent festival in Cheltenham, just a few hours away from London on the train, where some incredible bands have just joined the lineup. Rival Schools, The Bronx, American Football, Brutus, Bob Villain, Kneecap, and a whole lot more have joined a mega lineup, which includes Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, 100 Reasons, The Chisel, Bat Sabbath, so many ace bands at 2000 Trees this year. If you know you want to go but you haven't got your ticket yet, you can go to 2000treesfestival.co.uk and using the voucher code 101pod, you can get £20 off your ticket. That's free money. I'll be doing a live episode there on Friday morning. If you're around for it and you like waking up early, please do come along to that. 2000 Trees Festival, it's ace. All right, here's Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Go well. Cheers.
Wait, it's the jetpack man. The mysterious jetpack man. Flying over LAX. I wonder where he's off to next.
You know, look, I started this show, this podcast, a couple of years ago because, like thousands of people, like yourself, playing in bands, you know, I'd go on tour and sort of experience some success, you know, which I valued as playing to people, sharing music, making friends. Having a booking agent was a step up. Having an indie label in London, one that I grew up loving, you know, another thing. Every time I got back from tour, I'd get shit jobs, basically. And look, it's nothing new. People have been doing it since the time of playing music, right? And so what I really want to do is get stories from people, ask people to tell stories. And I don't want to ask you to talk about things you've already talked about. There was that great piece in Loud and Quiet a few years ago, which is more of like it's like a diary, isn't it, of getting signed and how things changed in 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe a good place to start is, you know, speaking of the album UK Grim. Now, it's just fucking shit getting a job in England now. But, you know, more specifically to you, as an artist who's been doing it long enough to have some kind of routine, I mean, you tell me, but, you know, have you got this kind of routine, first of all, and like, are you at peace with where you are as an artist and making that your full-time thing?
Yeah. It took a long time to get used to doing music full-time when I left work. It was almost like a massive anti-climax. All of these years thinking about what it would be like to get a record deal and be able to leave work, they were anticlimaxes in a lot of respects. So it took me a long time to adjust to not working because I had a lot of extra time.
Yeah.
And that was mostly, I was in the house all the time, do you know what I mean? And I was so used to leaving the house early in the morning and coming back late, you know, sort of late afternoon for God knows 30 odd years that, you know, it's a fucking culture shock. It's like retiring almost, you know what I mean? So, it's took me a long time to get my head around it, get my head around success, get my head around the fact that it doesn't matter what you do, people are always going to think you sell out, you're this, you're that, you know, and to get a thicker skin, so to speak. It's taken me a long time. And I feel like I'm at a point now where I can safely say that is starting to really kick in. Do you know what I mean?
Kick in a sense that, you know, you're a bit of level-headedness on it and a bit of a balance.
Yeah, I've got a balance with it now and I've got a balance with myself and I've had to have a lot of therapy, psychotherapy to talk about why I feel, you know, because when I gave up drinking drugs, it was still not enough. I was still getting really fucking jealous about other bands and hating them, which I started to think to myself, why am I like this, you know? And partly, you know, bands do wind you up. You're in this game. You don't like people's aesthetic. You think it's shit. You've struggled for so many years and you constantly think, well, why are they famous for doing this? This is shit. Here I am working really hard and they've passed me in the levels of fame, you know. So it is petty, but you do think like that. But I'm kind of put that into one corner, but it was really starting to get the better of me. And so I had to have a load of therapy about it. And regardless of why I took loads of drugs, you know, there was this new thing about, why am I losing my temper so much? Why am I getting really aggressive to people online that are in bands that I think are shit? You know, it's stupid.
You'd think, like, if bands are shit, they're doing their own thing, and there's thousands of different types of people. I mean, I wonder if it's, you know, not trying to make this some kind of sweeping statement or anything, but do you think it's the music industry and just the way it's operated since day dot that kind of makes it a competition? You know, because even from a fan's point of view, or a writer's journalist point of view, there's end of year lists. You know, everything's either better or worse than something else.
Oh, fuck yeah, totally. I agree totally that they do make it into a competition to a certain degree. But in order to enter the competition, you have got to have, you know, you're not made to. You actually want to enter that competition. So in a way, you are agreeing to do that anyway. You're in album campaign. Everyone's talking about you. Luckily, you've written a great album and you're really happy with it. And you're like, everyone's talking about it. Then the album campaign goes, you go and tour it, and it goes quiet again. Then you're online looking at other people going through their album campaigns. And it's fucking vicious. It's like a fucking revolving. It's like a cycle of fucking hatred.
Yeah.
So, you know, self-loathing, hatred towards other people. I still don't think there's anything wrong with having a go at people if you think they're shit. There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't have to be a repeated attack. It doesn't have to be obsessive. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're not affecting what you do. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's what's the issue, you know? So it is a really big thing, but yes, you've got a very interesting point. It is a competition as well. You know, we are played off against each other. And social media presents bands like that. You know, there's a lot of this, oh my God, this is genius. Oh my God, this album's iconic. When it's really not, you know what I mean? There's a lot of that as well. And it's like, okay, you kind of think, why are people doing that? why is your media organization doing that?
I've been going through a little period where, you know, it's not every day, but if I listen to something that's good, I'll just post it to my Twitter and say, this is good, you know, good music, because I want to share that. I want to share it with my mates, and I want to share it with strangers.
Sure.
You know, K Tempest just came out of that new track today or yesterday. It's banging.
Oh, right. I've not heard it.
It's great. And it's like jungle. It's wicked. And, you know, K's lyrics are just brilliant, aren't they? And so sharing that with someone, to me, the way I want to make my social, I'm not there yet, but the way I want to start operating is using Twitter like the way I text my mate, being like, have you heard the new Sleaford Mods record?
Yes. I agree with you. I'm going to have a listen to their new tune. I met them last summer, and they're really nice, actually.
I live in Deptford, and they're from around here. And a couple of years ago, they came up to me. And that's what happens when you got a bit long hair and white gentlemen, is that you look like other white men with long hair. And Kay came up to me and was like, oh my God, it's been years. How you doing?
What?
And I was feeling quite sprightly. Ooh. And I was like, I was like, how's it going? You know, I just read The Bricks That Built the Houses. And, you know, I was a fan. I still am. But at that time, especially, I was a fan. Oh. And you play along when someone recognizes you.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, talking about, you know, I wonder if that's something that Kay deals with, you know. So, you know, all art is art, right? It comes from the heart. Don't mind sort of, you know, you call a spade or whatever. You know, I do wonder if, you know, talking about socials and fucking metrics, you know, saw a great songwriter, Sean Hagen from the High Llamas, tweet the other day, like, look, I can't play any of these festivals because I don't have the followers, even though the High Llamas are this fantastic fucking band, you know. And it kind of commodifies the thing. And, you know, that's commodity, and music has been a conversation forever. I wondered if you'd sort of had any recent progressions with that stuff, recent thoughts.
Yeah, well, it is, isn't it? It is on, you know, when you go onto streaming sites, I think it probably is to a certain degree. But I just see streaming sites as another world. I don't necessarily see connected to the physical, the actual nucleus of the reason why you're in music, you know, the creativity side. It's not connected to that at all. It's just this weird kind of radio station do you know what I mean, that you either connect with it or you don't, do you know what I mean?
Do you listen to the radio?
No, I listen to Spotify all of the time. So, you know, we're not very good on Spotify, but we're really good on YouTube, you know.
Right.
It's weird. So, but I don't, I was at this same conversation with my daughter yesterday. She's like, you've nearly reached 100,000 followers. You're going to get a silver plaque. I'm like, what? The fuck's that?
Does that happen? Is that real?
Yeah. And she goes, when you get a million, you get a gold plaque. I'm like, oh, right. It's weird because you get a lot of people on Spotify that have got really healthy numbers, but their live shows are next to nothing. It's like they're playing really small venues. Mm. Not, you know, they're not a thing on the live circuit. So I don't feel like Spotify is like connected to the actual physical creative part and my emotional connection to it. It's just some bizarre sort of apparatus that is, you know, sort of sticking out of the idea of music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think, you know, have you got any ways to protect the nucleus of the thing?
Yeah, you have, by your own sheer force of will. You know, it's like, I am going to keep writing good stuff. I'm going to keep making Sleaf of Mods interesting. Mm. It has to be interesting, because if it doesn't, then it will fail. So that in itself is really all I need. I mean, obviously you need people to support you. You need people around you, but this has all come from just having that one single thought. Do you know what I mean?
In earlier days, you know, when you're working a multitude of jobs and you're working a little chef or you're working at a chicken factory, you're doing all odds and ends. You know, you know, you can see with Sleaford Mods, you know, where you've written around that. You've written from your experience there. This sounds like such a wanky journalist question, everything I don't want to be. But, you know, what do you write about now without kind of drowning yourself in the news? Do you think anything's replaced that as your kind of well of shit to write about?
Yeah, I think the outer world, what you see around you, which was always a part of Sleaford anyway, but also my own internal monologue, my own memories of childhood, which has been, you know, a little, you know, quite prominent on the last two albums. I mean, that might not continue, but there is always something that you never truly escape sorrow and depression, and you never truly escape loneliness, even when you're on a career high, you know what I mean? Even when you're financially stable, it's still there. So I'll always connect to it. I think because the severity of my emotions was at such a high level when I had nothing and I kept failing and had to keep picking myself up, that it will always stay with me. It's become imprinted onto my psychology. So the stuff that we do will always be laced with that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, even so far ago, long ago as two or three albums ago, we were getting accused of, you know, talking about stuff that didn't connect to us, you know, from people that have got absolutely no right to say that have not come from that area of life as well. You know, it just pisses you off. So it's like people, you're always going to get it. It's never going to go away. But, you know, as I've said earlier, I'm very good with that now. I've put that into a box, you know what I mean?
101 part-time jobs. Like I say, I'm 31. When I was 10 and my parents decided the best thing to do was to send me away to a boarding school.
Hell.
You know, we weren't a boarding school family, even though my name's Giles. You know, but 2 years, 3 years at boarding school, that's coming out of me now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to kind of notice patterns and behaviors and it's interesting about how the things comes around. And I'm with you. I'll have a really good day. You know, Music Week printed their podcast of the month was 101, you know, and I have these, you know, those good times, right? And it's still there. It's still there. Even when things are going great, even if I'm having a great,
it won't leave.
Even if I'm having the best day with my partner or your, you know, your friends, and it is something to work through, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing, I suppose, is what I'm trying to.
It's not a bad thing because you've obviously done something very good with it. You're trying to face it. that's all you can do with trauma. Do you know what I mean? Some people don't do very well with it at all, and it ends up devouring them. But that sounds quite positive. But you're right; it won't ever go away. It's a part of your makeup, and especially if it's got something to do with your parents, they are such a strong, powerful presence in your life throughout all of your life. You know,
there's a lot of transparency in the music industry right now. Lots of people are talking about their personal experiences, you know, and it's a very powerful thing. As well as that is a lot of powerful art coming out. The latest single with Florence and, you know, Dry Cleaning are such a, she's such a great lyricist, isn't she? Because she puts you in such an amazing place.
Yes.
And I wonder, especially in a time, I wonder if we all go through times and years and bouts long and short of, you know, not really seeing the good stuff. No, you know, out from the shit, I suppose. Have you always been digging for good music, listening to other people, focusing on, you've always been interested in digging that out?
Yeah, it's hard for me to, I find it hard to get a lot of good results from modern music. I'm just not I'm not your biggest music fan in that sense. You know, I just can't accept everything. Like some people do. And I do wholly believe that some people like a lot of things. I don't think it's a cynical thing. But my tastes are very, I don't know what they are, but they're much like the music we do. They're very minimalist, you know. And so things will come along occasionally that I'm really taken with. I've been listening to a lot of older music of late, you know.
What kind of stuff?
Just stuff, mainly 80s stuff, Flock of Seagulls, Soft Cell, Pet Shop Boys, Style Council, stuff, and stuff like Paul Weller's solo stuff I've been going back to again. Just stuff like that, really. Mixed in with stuff like Alex Cameron, Aldous Harding, Dry Cleaning, Lone Lady, which I'm quite big on at the minute. She's really interesting. Just stuff like that, do you know what I mean?
Do you think it's part of your job description to be a digger? You know, if we're looking at the way that people have mixed records into each other in production, part of their job description is crate digging. Do you feel like it's part of your job description to go back and see what's, you know, set off those synapses or however you want to call it?
Yeah, I do. I think it's the only way to move your own music on. I think without listening to new music, you just become stale. But that said, you know, when people sort of say, what were you listening to when you were recording the album? Well, nothing, you know. Sometimes I won't listen to anything. You don't feel like anything is inspiring you. You just go into the studio and things pop up that you immediately try to catch on to. I think, you know, that is just your skill set coming out, isn't it? You know what I mean? Not necessarily being massively influenced by somebody else's record.
Yeah.
But going back to my initial point, yes, I think you need, especially in this period of post-album, I start listening to stuff I wouldn't normally present to myself, do you know what I mean? Just to see. But I really do wish I could get on with modern music more. You know, I just find it really hard to sort of get myself into some stuff. There's not a lot that appeals, you know what I mean?
What about TV and books?
Yeah, always TV, books, films. Yeah, you know, I'm not a massive reader, but, you know, I do try and read all the time. It just takes me such a long time to finish a book, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So currently reading Van Gogh Diaries, letters between him and his brother, and a book on the Snowtown murders in Adelaide, Australia. Yeah, look it up. It's obviously very horrible, but the sociological landscape that surrounded these people is interesting. You know, the kind of underclass, you know, no future, no options. It's really quite interesting.
You've got a couple of IMDb credits. You're great in landscapers. Pretty sure I've seen you say that you enjoyed it, but you know, you did enjoy it, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was. Yeah, it was all right. It was, it's really hard because you don't want to, you feel like a bit of an imposter. You know, you don't want to overstep your mark because there's people out there that have dedicated their life to it. So you do feel a little bit like you've just walked in the side door. But saying that, you know, I put a lot of time in trying to get music together. So I kind of, you know, I put my work, I put the hours in, you know what I mean? I've done my apprenticeship, so to speak. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a really tough one. I really enjoy it, but I think it's something that I'm still in two minds about. You know, do I really want to devote more time to it if I can? I don't know, you know what I mean? It's a tough one.
I can see you being written into something. You know, you got a strong character.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a couple of things I'm doing this year with people. But I don't take myself seriously with it because there's still a part of me that there's that imposter syndrome. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love what I love is, you know, I know challenge is a cheesy word, but it's right. It's like, can I do this? It's like, can I play this person? And, I really enjoy it. You know, once you've got the lines down and, you know, the flow's there and it's really good.
Have you had anything else like that you've dipped into? I mean, you know, have you written much, like, you know, the written word in a sort of different kind of format?
Bit. You know, I've got a couple of projects at the minute, kind of written stuff, but it's really hard. I hate writing. I find it really boring, not songwriting, but kind of writing, kind of book writing is really laborious. I find it's like, I really have to be strict with myself and sit down and do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the end result's really fucking good. If you put the work in with it, you know, if you do a good job of it, that's really satisfying. But the actual work is fucking hard. It's really hard.
Have you met any, surprising fans, surprising Sleaford Mod fans?
To be honest with you, anyone. I mean, anybody that likes it is. I can remember Stuart Lee coming to a gig. Like, what? Andrew was like, Stuart Lee's here. I'm like, what?
Great.
And he's just at the bar. He said hello to me. I'm like, fucking hell. So it still surprises me that people of that ilk like it, because I do regard people like that way more able than myself. Do you know what I mean? As you do, you know. So
I'd love to see more comedians play at gigs. You know, I didn't Stuart Lee do some stuff back in the day?
Yes,
probably does some stuff at Nightingales in the last few years.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Would you do that at Sleaford Mod show? Is that like something that you'd entertain?
Yeah, I mean that is something that we, because it really worked. I thought.
Yeah.
It really did work, and I wonder. I'm wondering if we could do it again, but we could, you know, depending on the venue, if it's a real big venue, it might not come off. But fucking hell, you know, loads of people do it, don't they?
It's definitely
something that we'd like to do again.
I went to go see Squeeze the other day, and Dr. John Cooper Clark opened, and it was just fucking brilliant.
What was he like? Was he good?
Really good. Yeah. You know, you really had to listen, though. I think that's the probably biggest thing is that, like, first of all, you've got to be with mates that know when to shut up.
Yes.
You really had to listen to the sentences to get the joke sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? So there's that concentration that you're really requiring from the audience.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
Are you doing much stage production for the upcoming tours? Are there ideas there?
Yeah, got another. We're looking at, you know, changing the lighting. Because all we've got is a lighting show behind us. Mm. So we're looking at other ways of doing that. And you've reminded me, so I've got to send the set list off to the lighting guy. But yeah, there'll be other ways. There'll be, we're trying to find different angles, yeah.
People listening to this might think this is a fucking cop-out. We haven't really talked about jobs. But really, like, all of this stuff is your job, isn't it? All of this stuff,
yeah.
they are all part-time jobs of the bigger job.
Oh, big time, yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't really think people want to listen to some of the jobs I've had, to be honest.
All right, I've got two more questions left, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Richard Herring style, one of my emergency questions is, have you ever gone through any regrettable sartorial stages? Have you ever had any bad fashion periods?
Oh, God, yeah, fucking hell.
What are we talking?
Kind of just Liamir cuts. I don't really suit a Liamir cut. You know what I mean? That in itself, kind of like long and then down here, like a 70s football player.
Yeah.
it suits Liam, but it didn't suit me. Gordon Bennett, some of the, so, you know, club culture when I used to go clubbing. some of the like outfits I'd wear. I used to wear like boot cut kind of trousers with snakeskin cowboy boots. And a denim jacket with nothing underneath. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you do, you know, back in the early days of like John Richmond sort of clubbing, you know, all that kind of like disco Italian house type shit.
You must have attracted some characters with that.
Well, you either had lads were either dressing like that or they were getting casual, sort of Lacoste, Timberland, all that shit. But I didn't go that way until later on in life, really. I think I didn't see the value in that kind of dress code until must have been around sort of like, you know, late 90s, you know what I mean?
Was Nottingham pretty... Was that a pretty fruity place to go out?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed. I don't go out anymore, so I don't really know where to go. But there are lots of places to go, if you know what I mean.
What were the places? Have you got any memories of?
Yeah, well, the fucking Nottingham was like it was like Sin City at one point. It was fucking horrible, but great, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like, if you're heavily into cocaine and lager, Nottingham was fucking brilliant. And that's all we used to do, you know. So there were loads of bars, couple of clubs, you know, people's houses every weekend for many, many years.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What have you one part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs.
I fucking despise that kind of work environment where no one owns up to their mistakes, or, you know, the kind of LinkedIn fueled thing that I'm the best person at my job. No one else could do what I do. You know, it's so fucking tiring, isn't it?
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Fucking hell.
So I love asking people about their work gaffes, their work fails.
I think one of the most dramatic failings was being employed as a shop manager for a friend and ending up totally ransacking the till. The shop had to close. I had to pay all the money back via my wages. And to this day, he still maintains that I still owe a bit of money. But I shouldn't laugh because it wasn't very funny, but I was in a complete state. You know, it just wasn't. I took on the job thinking it would take me out of this warehouse and give me a bit of a better life. But it did the exact opposite. It was hell on earth. And I failed. I must have been in the job 6 months. And then I had to call up and say, I've stolen loads of money. And please don't call the police. But if you're going to, then fair enough. They didn't press charges in the end. But I paid. I didn't get my last month's wages and had to move home. To my mum's, and in utter shame, really. And I think that was kind of like the lowest point ever, because I was like doing loads of drugs, you know, completely addicted to speed and cocaine. Not addicted, but I would just get into vast amounts of debt. I was a wreck, you know what I mean? So my mum sort of took me back in for the third time. This was the third time I've moved out, and that's when things started to slowly improve.
Wow, cheers for telling that. That's heavy, isn't it?
Really heavy, yeah. So there's a song on the new album called Till Dipper which talks about that. And you know, it's not celebrating the fact that you're nicking off the man. It's more discussing the reasons why you're doing it, and you're blaming everybody else apart from yourself. There is a thing about minimum wage being completely unrealistic. You know, you just even back then, you just can't do it. It's like you just live in a shoebox. It's just no way to live, you know. So there is that debate around it. But yeah, you know, a lot of my spectacular personal failings were down to me and my reluctance to stop using drugs and alcohol and to stop lying and stealing and, you know, depending on everybody else. You know what I mean?
Jason, cheers for being up for this.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
So there was Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Cheers for listening, as always. Back with another episode later this week. Here's some Cox Barrow. I've been working all day for me mate on the side, running around like a blue ass fly. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day for me mate. Every bleeding minute I've been on the go, up and down the ladder like a fiddler's elbow. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day for me mate. This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.